great honor of being adopted, and we'll talk more about that later. My adoptive family, my father is Scotch-Irish, and my mom is Native American. The beautiful thing about Native American is I've learned about the Indians. And let me tell you something about the red man. He knows about covenant. And that's really the problem between the white man and the red man. White man didn't know covenant. He kind of comes in as a settlers, and they kind of make a deal, and all of a sudden, white man forgets red man, and then there's issues. So tonight, we're going to delve into covenant. We're going to talk about the covenant we have with the Lord and the importance of it, and then we're going to wrap things up just kind of briefly hitting on communion. And I can tell you, every time I take communion, there's something that breaks inside of me. Something just breaks. Now, there's a piece to it that in a former life, not really a former life, but I have had the great opportunity of being a stage actor and had an opportunity to pursue that in New York. God shifted gears with me a number of years ago, and I was like, okay, yes, sir, we'll hit pause on that. But in doing acting, I got to portray Jesus a number of years in some big productions. In that experience, you're hanging there on a wooden cross for like 30 minutes. You guys got these guys that are taking fake whips and they're whipping you, and sometimes they're making contact. It's grueling. Then you have the spiritual ramifications on it. And then by the time you're doing like a 2-week run of this production, you're emotionally, physically, and spiritually exhausted. And then I'm thinking, my goodness, imagine Jesus doing this for real. There's a big shift on this. So when I partake of communion, there's this deep remembrance of what God's done. But tonight we're going to talk about covenant. So what is covenant? Covenant is not based upon, hey, I like you. We got these strengths in common. Let's join and create a community. It's based upon my weaknesses and this other person's strengths. Or this other community has a weakness, and my community can bring the strength to it. That's one reason I got married. I realized in my marriage, there's things that I can't do, or I can do, but I'm not strong in. So I'm partnering in my marriage not based upon, hey, we both like love this, we both love doing that, and we have a call of God on our lives. And that's where sometimes marriages break, because it's only based upon strengths, not the strengths covering the weaknesses. So if you'll go with me and imagine right now that you're in a settlement with Indians. And one tribe has come to another tribe, and this is a monumental day. And all of a sudden, they pick a representative from each side. They would come standing together. Dressed in all of their garb, they meet. Each one has a belt, and on that belt represents the strength of the tribe, maybe weapons. So maybe one tribe has a sword, saying that we are great swordsmen. Maybe the other tribe, they have bow and arrows, indicating that there are warriors through bow and arrow. So then what they do is both take their belts off and trade belts, and they tighten it on one another. This is indicating, in your time of need, if you need a sword, I've got the sword. If you need the bow, I will give you the bow. There's more to the ritual than this, but it always deals with blood. This is starting to sound a little familiar. Blood is sealing this covenant. Now, inside this contract, if the two parties do not uphold the bargain, there are curses that take place. Is this starting to continue to sound familiar? Adam, all of a sudden, he gets out of covenant, and then all of a sudden, there's a curse that comes. When we begin to deal with God, we understand that God is a God of covenants. That's why we have an Old Testament, New Testament, that translates covenant. So in that process, there is blood that is spilled. Now, let's pause for a second. As I've dealt into the realm of the supernatural, in the sense of using the gifts, the prophetic, healing, we have other things on the other side of the aisle, as it were, witchcraft, mediums that have a similar type of gifting. Now, I would suggest, and as I've studied this, a lot of mediums actually have the gift of prophetic. Their power source is the enemy. And that's something that we can delve in another time. But the point is, their power source is not my power source, which is going to take them in a whole nother direction. Now, they have to have blood in their pagan rituals, but it only will give them enough for a certain amount of time. The beautiful thing is, in our covenant, the blood of Jesus sustains because he's a perfect person. He is part God and part man. So in that contract, we have a breach, the fall with Adam, okay? And so in this place, all of a sudden, the rights have shifted and changed. So now mankind is cursed because he was outside of covenant. So how do we redeem this covenant? Because it's a broken system. As we go and partner, you have an Abrahamic covenant, you have a Mosaic covenant, and every time it's still faulty, there's still cracks in the seam, but it always takes blood. Always takes blood, and there's always a curse. Do you remember? Blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed in the field, blessed in the city. But if you don't obey the word of the Lord, cursed are you when you come and go. That's what Scripture talks about, part of the Mosaic law. So there's still the blessing and the cursing, this dichotomy within the covenant. In Christ's covenant, we don't have to deal with the curse in the same way. Why? That's something to ponder. But each one is based upon the covenant, and that's why we have a new covenant. That's why we couldn't base upon what we do as Christians according to the Mosaic law. It had to be fulfilled. If you go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis 15, we're going to begin to read part of the Abrahamic covenant that God brought together. Starting at verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "The one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside, and he said, "Look now toward heaven, and count the stars, if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord and accounted it to him for righteousness. Then he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it." And he said, "Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it?" So he said to him, "Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." Then he brought all these to him and cut them into two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down and a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, "Now certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them and will afflict them for 400 years. This is the important part. And also the nation whom they will serve, I will judge. Afterwards, they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried to old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete." And it came to pass, when the sun went down, it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between the pieces. And on that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the river of Euphrates." We can keep going a little bit, but there's no point. The point is, there is this moment of covenant. And what God was saying, I am making a covenant that I am performing an oath with you that my strength will be covering your weakness. And what you will do is you're going to bear descendants because of your righteousness. Sometimes we forget in our covenant with the Lord, what does the Lord gain out of it? He gains people that want to have fellowship with him. He gains recognition by us being healed, set free, and delivered people walking in a dying world. That's what he gets. He gets children out there saying, he's my Abba, he's my Papa. So when we partner with the Lord, yes, we garner the strengths of him, healing, provision, salvation. And what the Lord gets from us is the way it should be, fellowship with the Lord. In our covenant, God is our protector, our provider, and our power source. We're coming up to, now that Easter's done, we're coming up to Pentecost. We like to talk about the dunamis power. We like to talk about dunamis power in the sense that it enables us to do gifts. I also want to remind you that the dunamis power gives us the ability to do other things than just operate in the gifts. It gives us a power source to be able to walk in love, to have the fruits of the Spirit, right? That's how I can get up in the morning, even though there's cray-cray at work. Maybe there's cray-cray in my family, but there's a dunamis power because my power source is God. So God's saying, I'm taking off my belt with mankind and I'm giving him this power. That's part of what we get in a place of covenant. Point two, Christ's covenant. Assets of heaven is now before us. So in that place, when I am needing to hear from God, I can hear from him, God. Before, it was only through, in the old covenant, through the priests, through the prophets, and the kings. Now, everybody can hear from the Lord. And this kind of continues on step by step. But the assets of heaven are now available to us. The redeeming from the curse of the law, authority over demons and principalities. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5 talks about our weapons are not carnal, but powerful for pulling down strongholds. We can't operate in that outside of covenant. When we do, that's where we get bent out of shape. That's why we have to have the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and so on. It's because we're now taking in covenant the authority that God has given us. To know, I have to know who I'm in covenant with. And it talks about in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19, to know the depth, the width, the length of God's love. To know there, the Greek word there is gnosko, intimacy. It basically means intercourse. It's to know God so deeply that we're not going to go outside of covenant with him and we know his heart. There's things that I don't need to go to God for. I don't need to go to God and say, God, do I need to forgive them? I know I need to forgive them. Oh my, I've got to be patient with them. Let me ask the Lord if I need to be patient. I already know God's character. I know him. With my wife, I know her. I know what's probably going to tick her off. Right? So for me to just tick her off, that would be very mean of me. But I also know her. So when I go to the store, I'm going to know what ice cream to buy her. I'm in covenant with her. I know her. Now, the problem is sometimes if I'm not being intimate with my wife, there's a place where I'm not getting to know her well. So after a time of not knowing her, I kind of lose touch. And then I can't walk in a power of my covenant because my strengths, I don't know what her weaknesses fully are. I don't know how to protect her. That's why I need to know God constantly. That's why I need to be in his word constantly to remind my mind, to refresh my spirit in covenant to know. Point three, covenant brings covering. This is a powerful one. Ministry-wise, I'm here at Harvest. So Pastor Matt is covering. I'm a member here at Harvest, so I'm in covenant here at Harvest. Now, if I go and minister out in Lakeland, Florida, and I start preaching some heresy, and they find out that I'm Parker Galloway with Harvest Assemblies of God, unfortunately, that's going to reflect on you guys, right? Because we're in partnering, but you're also my covering. You're my protection. So what you might do is say, you know, Pastor Matt, who's not here tonight, he might call me in the office and say, hey, Parker, let's pray about this. What does Scripture say? Okay? But he might go to Lakeland, Florida and saying, we're dealing with Parker. We're sorry this happened. Parker, come here. He's my covering in covenant. That's the beauty of covenant. If something happens with my wife, I'm going over there and protecting my wife. If you mess with my wife because I'm in covenant with her, I'm right there. Now, before, it would have been the Bonets, her family, who would have protected her. But now in covenant, there's a covering. We forget this sometimes. Even in the prophetic, we forget it. And so all of a sudden, we just start flowing in the prophetic. Well, who's your covering? Oh, God's my covering. That's nice. But who are you in covenant with? I'm in covenant with Esther McMichael and her ministry when I'm dealing with the prophetic. So if I prophesy amiss, you're probably going to go to Esther and be like, Parker, he prophesied wrong. You're probably going to go to Harvest and say, Parker prophesied wrong. Because I'm in covenant community. They have my back. I have theirs. We talked a little bit about marriage. The beautiful thing is with marriage, there are days that even though I'm 6 months married, it's like maybe I don't feel like I felt on my wedding day for my wife. I'm not saying I don't love her. I adore her and I love her. But there are some days I may not have that butterfly feeling, but I'm in covenant and I know my wife. So there is a covering. Adoption. The beautiful thing about being adopted is now that I'm adopted into the Galloway family, I have the right and the privilege of being in that Galloway clan, that Galloway family. Many, many, many centuries ago, what you would probably find if I was adopted into the Galloway family at that time, it would be in Scotland. My family's Scotch-Irish. There would probably be land holdings. I do have a ring. I didn't wear it tonight, but I have a ring that's a signet ring, and it's got the family crest of Galloway on it. And let's say 100 years ago, if I went to Scotland and I flashed that ring, they would know that's a Galloway, and he's entitled to his ancestral rights because he's in covenant. Now, they might look at me and be like, you don't necessarily look like a Galloway. Let's look at the papers. I'm like, well, I was adopted into the Galloway family. So then they're looking at me, well, everything checks out. You were adopted into the Galloway family. All this is now yours. So now there's this covering where I can walk in this place that anytime that I need it, if centuries ago, resources, maybe a manor or a castle, was now available to me because now I'm adopted in. We've been adopted into the family of God through the covenant made with Jesus on the cross. So now we get those rights. So those moments when, I don't know if I can go to heaven, or I don't know if these things, we made covenant with God. Now we're going to talk about point four, communion covenant, remembering the oath. I love this part. Every time we celebrate communion, there's, like I said at the beginning, there's something that stirs within me. And I remember what Jesus did for me. I remember the sacrifice that he did for me. And so the beautiful thing is, all of a sudden, when I'm feeling a certain way, like this morning, I woke up. I didn't feel like going to work. I felt kind of sick. But I remembered that Jesus bled on the cross. So physically, I can call on the name of the Lord through covenant rites and say, Father, would you heal me? Those moments when I'm struggling with temptation, I can call on the name of the Lord and remember the covenant rites. I remember that day. A number of years ago, I had the honor of officiating a wedding for one of my friends. And the beautiful thing is we were standing on a beach. And I just looked at the bride and the groom and I told them, I said, smell that. And they smelt. And what they smelt was the sea salt water air flowing in their nostrils. I said, do you feel that? And in their toes, they felt the sand. I said, do you hear that? And they heard the seagulls. And they said, yes. I said, every time you hear a seagull, I want you to think about the covenant that you made today. Every time you smell that salt water, I want you to remember the vows that you spoke this day. And every time your toes feel sand, I want you to remember that moment that you said, I do. So every time we take that cup and we partake, every time we break that bread, it's a moment to remember what Jesus did for us. So I can remember, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound, Paul says, because I know what I partnered with. I know the covenant rights. And when we partner in that, that's where we have our power, our protection, and our provision. Because that's what God does for us. He's our power source. It's not a place of modified behavior that I'm a Christian, I can't say that, I can't curse anymore. I have to give it to the cross. There has to be a transaction. I have to remember that I'm wearing the heavenly belt. I have to remember that I have a sword of the Spirit. I have a shield of faith. Because I'm partnering with heaven. See, the thing about striving is striving means we're outside of covenant. God didn't intend for us to strive. He wanted us to walk in covenant. What is burnout? Burnout is because you're in a position that you're not supposed to be doing and you're exhausted because you weren't created for it. I'm not a long-distance runner. If I'm constantly made to long-distance run, I'm going to be burned out. My body wasn't built for that. I'm short. I'm built for speed, but for small distances. I played soccer for many years. I trained, but there are certain positions that I was good at, so they trained me for those positions. I would get burnt out if I was placed in the wrong position. So maybe you're feeling burnt out, maybe at work, maybe at ministry or something that you're doing. God didn't call you to burn out. God didn't say rest in that. He created man for a purpose. He created ministry for a purpose. So don't strive. When we're striving, we're outside of covenant. When I strive in my marriage, it's meaning something's amiss. If a machine is not working properly, that's striving because the gears are just jamming and it's not working right. So what are you going to do? You're going to fix it. You're going to repiece, repurpose, fix, adjust, oil. That sound familiar? Oil of Holy Spirit. Covenant. We're going to end a little early tonight. If you'll just stand with me. We're going to pray to just remember that covenant. It's an interesting thought process to quote unquote partake of communion in a way that is not with the elements, but I just want you to just be before the Lord for a moment and just remember. I know we just came out of Holy Week, but remember. Remember the brokenness of Abba. Remember the blood that was shed for you. So the moments when temptation comes, you say, I am in covenant with God. I need the strength of Him. So if you just open up your hands, Holy Spirit, would you just come upon us, that you would remind us of the covenant of heaven, the covenant that you have created with Christ on that cross. We thank you so much this evening for the ability to partner with God, the Almighty One. You are the Creator. Thank you for being our protector, our provider, and our power source. And we pray right now, Father, we repent for ways that we have strived with you, strived with mankind because we're outside of covenant. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would allow us to be one with you and to know your heart, to know your characteristics, and to know your spirit. Would you revive us tonight? And as we just partake in our spirit and just remember the sacrifice on that cross, will you just free us? Free us right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.